First Corinthians 5 is about preparation for Passover. It's about leaven. And it somehow mysteriously connects leaven to illicit sex. What could be the connection? Let's read it. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you, for I verily is absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with the extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That's the least studied scripture in the Bible, least studied chapter of the New Testament. Why?
Because it demands black and white.
It demands clarity. It demands certainty. It's spoken specifically. The reason it's so not understood is because this scripture is about Passover. And you're not to eat the Passover under those conditions. Do you understand? Now, as most of you know, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, when this was written, the Christians kept the Passover. And so once a year in an inventory at the time of leaven, they began the process of searching out and destroying the leaven, just as we are supposedly doing. Do you understand that? Do you understand what the leavens, is there anybody that doesn't understand what those three leavens are? The leaven of Herod, the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees. It says, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. What the hell does that mean? If you don't understand what the process is, you'll not understand that scripture, and you don't understand what purging out the old leaven is. The old leaven is three things according to Jesus. He defined the leaven. He said there were three kinds of leaven that leavened the body of Christ. And if those leavens remain in the body of Christ, the word for having leaven, the word leaven is hummus. And the punishment for having leaven, or for eating the Passover in a leaven condition, is death at an early age, punishment at the hand of heaven. Now, It's what says in 1 Corinthians 11, which we'll get there in a minute. But the leaven is having a condition in your life in which you believe that there is no power of God to affect the condition. That's called the leaven of the Sadducees. You don't believe in the resurrection. The leaven of the Pharisees is having a condition in your life which you are attempting to hide from the brethren, and therefore, by definition, you're a hypocrite. And the leaven of Herod, which is the leaven of Amalek, which is the leaven of never having enough, of always seeing lack, of never being in a state of contentment. So those are the three forms of leaven: lack, unbelief in the resurrection, and hypocrisy. Now, in this passage, in this chapter, in three different times, it equates the leaven, or it gives you the it ties the leaven to illicit sex. Why? Because it's connected with all three leavens: lack, non-belief in the resurrection and the power of God. And because of that, and because of the type, it becomes, by definition, it has to become hidden. And so it's hypocrisy. God doesn't care one iota if the world is out there giving 43 blowjobs a day, screwing their mother, illicit sex in every possible situation, the worst kink you can imagine. He cares nothing about. But God cares if there's illicit sex in the body of Christ, because by definition, it is leaven. You think that you are, because you understand that sex comes from a sense, your need for sex comes from a sense of desperation. Your need for sex comes from this sense of desperation that you're alone and somebody has to be, you have to be connected or at one with something. Now, there can be just as much illicit sex in a marriage as there can be in a single. From the gospel standpoint and from God's standpoint, illicit sex is sex that does not reveal the mystery. It's like it reminds us fundamentally of what goes on here. It's sex without function. In other words, the only reason that most of you, if you're married, use birth control, and if you're not married, have in the past used birth control if you're females, is because you don't want the responsibility of, you don't want to reproduce. And so you want your sex to be illicit in that it has no function, no purpose, except your own self-gratification. And so the seed goes everywhere except where it's supposed to, and if it goes where it's supposed to, it's covered by a rubber. Now, the reason it's so evil is because it defines your spiritual condition externally. The idea of sex is the idea that you would reproduce yourself spiritually, but there is none. The scriptures say, as you go into your world, make disciples, and you've made none. So your life is a reflection of illicit sex. Your life is a reflection of blowjobs and masturbation. You understand me? Intimately connected with leaven, because the leaven, am I putting you to sleep? The leaven is there because of your feeling of desperation in the quiet time of your night, And you've got to have, it's this sickening desperation. The feeling of desperation. Unto you it has been given to know the mysteries of God, and yet you're running around considering them lightly because you're walking in a state of desperation because you believe the lies of your own mind. So there's this clawing, clinging. But by God in heaven, we will have a Passover where the leaven is removed, or we will have no Passover. We will have a Passover whereby you have revealed and opened yourself to the brethren, where you have made a lie of these idiotic feelings of desperation, or we'll have no Passover, or you won't be there. Now read this with understanding. Read, "But I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one, know not to eat." Now again, they're not talking about not having those in the body. They're talking about don't eat the Passover with them. Do you understand?
What's a railer?
You know the condition that most of the time?
Oh, okay. Fiery.
Without purpose.
Yeah, okay.
Railing for self-seeking. Am I being explicit enough tonight?
Is smoking an idol?
Smoking is an idol. Again. If these are the things that you want to do, go do them until you're fed up with them. But we have, for the most part, nothing but secrecy. Nothing but, you know, and we know each other, and there's more confession here than there is in any other place I know of, and yet it still sucks. There's no openness. It's private little lives of quiet desperation and your aloneness on your beds. Fearful that maybe I don't get it right. Maybe it's not this. There's no vitality. You know, I've made fun of evangelists. And so what has it done? It's given you an excuse not to talk, not to risk, not to test your faith. You know, to you it's the rare time that you ever talk to anybody about the doctrine or the God stuff. I cannot imagine meeting someone that I didn't talk to them about this stuff. Unless I had another agenda. See, if I've got another agenda, if my agenda is to have a successful career, if my agenda is to get into somebody's pants, if my agenda is in any arena, if I have any agenda, then I won't talk about the cross or the God stuff. Why? Because it'll fuck up your party. Do you understand? You start talking about the cross to your bosses and you're going to get fired, maybe. You risk it. You start revealing the vanity of the people's lives and they're going to... Do you understand? You must get the impression that it's about time that there comes explosion. You understand? You have a little bit of understanding of what leaven is? Leaven has as its component, I promise you know if there's leaven there, is if you have this a sort of unspoken feeling of desperateness when you're alone and quiet. You know what I mean? I promise you, if that feeling is there, and the test is that you would get rid of that feeling by sex, drugs, or alcohol, or anything else, but those, that if you would try to override that feeling of desperation. The feeling of desperation, the Holy Spirit placed it there so you could confess your leaven. But you try to override it with every other form of thing there is. And so the leaven remains. Am I communicating? Now, by definition, if there's leaven, then you're eating unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body. Why? Because if there's leaven, you're keeping it to yourself, afraid of exposure. Therefore, by definition, you're not discerning the Lord's body, you're retaining it to self. Therefore, when you eat the matzah and drink the wine, you're drinking illness to yourself, and that's foolish. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just four verses, four chapters over. Now, do you understand that every Sunday night when we have the agape feast and we eat here and then we go up there and we take the bread and the wine, that is a duplication of a process that was done for 130 years by all people that call themselves believers. The reason they stopped doing it is because the gatherings got too big and they became licentious because of people got drunk on their wine. But that little celebration is a type, a weekly type of the Passover that celebrates your exodus. But you can't celebrate your exodus. You've got all of those aspects of your leaven, our alliances, back to the world. And you're sinning with a cart rope trying to carry all that garbage into the kingdom of God. Communicate? Chapter 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, then that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Well, that one's not too bad. Unless you are the one that's the continual heresy. If you're the continual object lesson, then you got to get a little suspicious. If you're every once in a while the object lesson, then, you know, you're supposed to be a heretic every once in a while. But if you're the continual heretic, I mean, you'd sort of, wait a minute, maybe something's not going on right here. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before after his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So what he's talking about? He's talking about people that go, you know, they met in groups like we do, and there they ate their agape feast. But when they got together in the bigger place, then they came and ate up everybody else's food. And, I mean, it was that kind of a, do you understand?
They were locust.
What? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Now, who hasn't been to Passover? Have you? 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 You there? That, well, once we do the Passover, you'll see exactly, you'll know exactly the words. This will become crystalline, because I promise you the image of Passover will never leave you once you see it. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now that's, wait a minute.
Sense. Never did.
What other night?
Bearing the shame of the cross.
No.
That would make sense.
You do show forth the Lord's death till he appear, or till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, how do you eat it and drink it unworthily?
Leaven.
What is the fruit of the leaven? The leaven says to God, the leaven says to the Holy Spirit, holding the leaven in, says to God, the Holy Spirit, and the brethren, I do not believe that the power of God is sufficient for this internal thing. I believe, therefore, I have to hide. I believe, therefore, I have to continue in this feeling of desperation. I believe, therefore, that God is a joke. That's what retaining the leaven says. That's not smart. That's really dumb. Now, you've gotten by with it in each of the little agape feasts, which are the pre-Passovers or the mini-Passovers each Sunday. But the Passover that's in 3 weeks is the big one. Never before will there have been such a Passover as the one that we're about to celebrate. You have 3 weeks to get rid of the leaven. Do you understand? Do all of you clearly understand what the tie to leaven and sexuality is? Illicit sex. And it's a joke. It makes relationships a joke. It makes the body of Christ a joke. It makes everything a joke. I mean, my God, if you're going to do it, go do it right. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get me? Don't stick around here and be half-assed in the kingdom and half-assed in sex. Go do it right. Some of you have had a long experience in this arena of doing it wrong. Innumerable times. Why? Because you were consumed with leaven, and therefore you believed you were justified in that feeling of desperation. You were consumed with leaven, therefore you felt that it was necessary for you to lie. You were consumed with leaven, therefore you felt it was necessary. You were convinced that someone had been hot-rodding the Mustang.
Inside joke. Yeah. When you least expect it.
He lost
them. It's a vague reference. That's a vague.
Two.
Lost
them.
It's an arcane reference to a Getzloff bold-faced lie this morning.
Pretty vague. On with the holy
what
word,
right? What did you say,
right?
Harry?
Here,
who had the Mustang? Harry does.
But somebody else was driving it and messed up this thing. It was somebody else that had been hot rodding it.
Somebody else broke it.
Somebody else broke it. Somebody else was walking by when it fell down.
Hey, I wasn't even here.
Someday.
You're going. Oh, you're going.
I'm going.
As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, I don't know what the hell that means, but I don't want to know. You understand? I don't think anybody, I mean, I can give you some great sermons about what it means, but I really don't know what it means. To be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord is something that I really don't want to know what it means.
So you already kind of have an idea.
You know, I promise you this, though. I promise you that the feelings of desperation that you have means that you're guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And I promise you this, that's the reason time has not yet ended to give you space to repent. No. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So that's what it means. To eat and to drink unworthily means to eat and drink not discerning the Lord's body. It means to eat and drink with you in the picture. And that's, I promise you, the fruit of leaven will the fruit of retained leaven will cause you to make you and to make your thoughts and your words, external words, completely covered with the I motive. You will be incapable of thinking about anything except how it affects me. You'll be incapable of looking at anything except as a mirror. That's the fruit of leaven. Do you all understand clearly? I mean, is there anyone here who's not bored with himself by now? I mean, you gotta suspect it's really gotten boring. Now, one of the reasons it's boring is because you don't have any disciples. You haven't reproduced yourself. You've been consumed with illicit sex. You haven't gone into your world and made disciples. Too risky. It's too risky for the I motive to make disciples. One disciple will destroy the I motive. It's just weird. I hate it. That's why I knew that. I hated it. I didn't want to teach. I hated it.
Yeah.
I mean, you understand? Night and day with a bunch of dorks that think they're cool.
I think in the old days, you spent more 9 days. I think the newer people catch on quicker. I think we were like the slow learners.
Well, the dorks came first.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
shit.
First there were the dorks.
The dorks.
Oh, I don't know.
Which came first?
The dorks. Getting through the dorks.
I think we get a fresh joy in the dorks.
This is weird. Daily.
Yeah.
I don't think the dork potion has dropped.
I'm a goober.
For this cause. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Can you understand that if you retain leaven, you're saying to God that I do not believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Because there is a situation that I do not believe that he's capable of handling. Go to 2 Corinthians.
Chapter 13. Before you do this, aren't you getting rid of some leaven?
Okay. What's been going on in me is such a perfect picture of everything we just read. It's not even real. I realized something in the bathroom when we were talking. The living I have is not anything I tried to keep from the group per se. It's what I've tried to keep from you. When you were out of town, I came to the group and I said I'd been having trouble with cigarettes. I'd been smoking. And I thought that would be good enough because I didn't think the group would really fry me. But I knew you would. And so this has all been built to a head because yesterday I went to Harry and I said, you know, it was like when you just looked at me the other day or last night when I was telling you about the Chris Christian note and you cocked your eyebrow or you rolled your eyes or something. Anyway, I was convinced that I haven't done anything right in so long I can't remember, and that it had everything to do with you. And it really, it was just everything. I couldn't understand why everything was, you were the focal point of everything. And so I thought to myself, well, this is just my high place. I'm just sucking up to Oli again. And I'm just, this complete whore to Oli, and I'm lost in this. And I just have to have his approval, and it's really sick, and so I just got to let it go. But really, the whole thing boils down to, I realize that what it is I've been trying to hide from you the fact that over at my parents' house, I've been smoking.
Rick, do you think I care whether you smoke?
No, I don't. I mean, I do. I guess. I don't know. I
yes, he thinks you.
Yeah, I do. I think you care. I think you care, and I think you want to yell at me, and I just...
Let's set the record. Publicly, I don't care if you smoke.
Well, you take a lot of the wind out of my sails.
I care if the Levites smoke. Because.
No, I understand. I
don't care if you smoke.
All that's good for nothing.
Well, really, I've just been going in complete contortion. Crazy. And I really feel like that's why, because this caused many are weak and sickly of money. I have been sick for the last month and a half. And I think that's part of the reason.
If you think it to be sin, it is sin. You're you're not true to yourself because you're doing that which you don't approve of yourself. Happy is the man that condemneth not himself in the thing which he allows. You're condemning yourself.
Yes, I am.
Well, that's silly.
Yeah, but this is exactly what happened when he brought it up and you weren't here.
Harry tells me smoking.
What?
What if I tell you Rick smoking?
I don't care.
Yeah, this is exactly what was said to me, but anyway, okay, well, I said it. I can't believe that I've been as twisted out about it.
But you've been twisted out, not because of me. I'm just your convenient foil. I'm your joker in the phony temple of God. I'm your court jester in the Antichrist temple. Yeah, I'm the one that you can... I'm the foil. It's crazy. You got to see that.
Well, I think I do sometimes.
You've condemned yourself, but rather than accepting it, you've blamed it on me.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I did. That's pretty crazy.
Of course, none of the rest of you would ever do that. But.
It just gets so convoluted. The more you suppress it, the more convoluted it gets. Anyway, so I'm glad I said something.
Thank you. 2 Corinthians 13. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove or test your own selves. Know you not your own selves? three times. Know you not your own self, your own selves, your own self. In one verse, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate.
I mean, this is why they had the big deal about going through the houses and searching through the leaven and the bit about if, what if the mouse comes in with leaven. And I mean, you know, it's a big deal. Clean the house of leaven.
If you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you, you by definition are a reprobate. You by definition are Amalek. What you are then is a person consumed with the I motive, putting Jesus Christ on your idolatry. That's just Amalek. And you will cause, you will say you repent, and all it repent means is you're sorry you got caught. And because you're incapable of repentance and true repentance, you're a reprobate. A reprobate is one who cannot understand for the life of him how to abandon himself. Because there's nothing, if he doesn't believe Jesus Christ is there, how can he abandon himself? What is he going to abandon himself to what? He'll become a nothing. His worst fear will come upon him if he abandons himself. That is, he doesn't exist. Is that, you understand that? Mm-hmm. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. If you don't know he's in you, then don't give sleep to your eyelids, nor slumber to your head until you've found out the place for the Holy One of Israel. If you know he's in you, then just tell this lying Antichrist to go to hell. And you're at rest. If there's any, if there's anyone, if there's any accusation or anything there that you're afraid to bring forth, that's crazy. But can you see that you get life from feeling desperate? You think you should feel desperate.
I come home every day.
Well, but you don't say it quite like that. I'm faced with either two positions. It's either it's true or it isn't. You know, it's not. You know, and it's mostly just. You know, I don't believe, or I don't think I believe, or you know, that's usually
doesn't feel right.
Yeah, you know, it's always.
Yeah, but it's never. I don't think I believe. It's always. It didn't feel right.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah.
I mean, I don't think I believe is a meaningless concept to you as a vessel.
I don't know why, but I can buy that.
Okay, well, you can buy that because of your identity, and don't worry about it.
Okay.
I mean, you don't require intellectual integrity to continue the next day.
Right.
What you require is, does it feel right?
Yeah. That's my bottom line.
Okay, the bottom line then is, I promise you that faith won't feel right until it feels like until it's faith without feeling right.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Oh, yeah. Please.
Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you. Anything else, any feeling is a lie.
Yeah, I mean, that's how the Antichrist tools you around. It's not necessarily a thought, it's just...
He tools you around by your hormones. I mean, you're just like a woman. You remind me half the time you're a woman on a period. I mean, that's what you are.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Something happened.
Yeah.
Something didn't happen.
So you can afford to ignore it.
Yep. Yay.
That's the lesson. That's the lesson that you can learn from the terrible things that the woman has to go through monthly. That she, just as they can see, that's why they're a blessing. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Test your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now listen to this part. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as a reprobate. You understand? Paul is saying that it doesn't matter if he himself is a reprobate, as long as what happens in you is fulfilled. Now here, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Do you understand that the scriptures declare over and over that all things were created for the pleasure of God? That God receives pleasure from all things. It's the first thing in the it's the first thing that happened in the scriptures, and it's the last thing in Revelation, that he saw it was good, and he received pleasure from it. Now, our role to be transformed by the renewing of our minds is that we would receive and see the same thing God does. And that we would, instead of being in these hormonal ups and downs, that we would see with a consistency and receive pleasure from all things. All things work together for good to them who are the called according to them who love the Lord, to them called according to his purpose. You can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Now, that tie to eternity, to outside of time, is that concept is tied like it would securely to something in your brain, and that anchor will cause the renewal of your mind. That otherwise, you're going to be tossed to and fro by every wind and wave, everything. You're just a little cork in the wind. You poor little guy, and it's so righteous to be, oh, it's so righteous to be concerned and worried about whether you believe or not. Oh, it's so great and righteous, and it's sick. You know, the greatest one, like Gary. Gary, for years, he was guilty because he didn't study as much as I did. I think he still is guilty about it. Oh, I wish I could study as much as you. No, you don't. If you had all the time in the world, you wouldn't do what I do because you're not made like I am. Prove your own selves, your own selves. Whatever it takes to you, whatever it takes for you to be fully convinced, to fully persuaded in your own mind so that you have rejoicing in yourself and not in another. It doesn't take any time. We were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. There's no need for the passage of time to be fulfilled. That's your belief system in dispensationalism. In other words, you think, I'll take care of it tomorrow. You understand Levin a little better?
Yeah.
What you need to begin to do, and we're for the 23rd and the 24th, is to begin to make a list of the three kinds of leaven in your life.
Cool.
With specificity. No. Lack is Herod, no power is the Sadducees, and hiding or hypocrisy is the Pharisees. No. The evidence of those, of all three, really, is the need to lie.
Yeah,
and it's the need to lie by omission or commission. In other words, it's the need. All lying is acting, but it's really bad acting.
Is there any way to remember?
Lying is connected with shame. And that's the reason we studied what we did Tuesday night. It's so that you could see that Christ has gone through every bit of shame that it's possible for you to go through. And he faced it. And he faced it in you. You don't have to lie about it anymore. You don't have to wiggle out of it. You can just confront it. And I promise you something. Once your shame is dealt with publicly, to see that it was needed. It was a childish thing, and it was needed to bring you here. If you would not have been here. But it's time to put away the childish things. You don't need them anymore. They're silly. You don't need to prove your... You no longer need to prove that you are worthy of existence. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. It's a boring test. I mean, you just don't need to worry about it anymore.
If a person examines himself with these three and finds it constantly,
run to the cross. Father, forgive me. Pick up the cross. Once we have some good news for a change.
We do.
From my standpoint, it may not be from your standpoint.
You're afraid that means something bad then.
I went over the Iowa. All of you know what the Iowa basics are. They're the tests that are given.
Yes, I took them.
Have they chosen? Tell us what are they too?
Commit them or not?
You have to have two number two pencils.
All the kids without expression have advanced far above their grade level. Even though last year they were way behind in some instances. But what it means is that, I kept saying that you don't have to worry about it. And that's why I didn't want to show the Iowa basics to the last year to the parents. Even before they took the test, I didn't want to show them because I suspected. But now by the same token, I don't want them to go, I'll pray that the parents don't go running around with eating the flesh of the children. But it proves to us this idea that the basic thing that we started when we started school, one is that we've got them for a lifetime, and two is that the most important thing is to let them know there's an environment, that they're accepted. And then that environment, discipline, and the fact that they go to school 12 months a year, but there's a community, and things happened in this short, brief span that are amazing. When you look at their, because the Iowa basics test in everything. There's certain things that all of them are bad at, for instance, comparatively speaking. And it's because I understand now why they're bad, because the teachers haven't done anything about it. But all of them are bad in what's the subject, the test called referencing, which is the capacity to be able to know where to go for information. So, well, that's the only reason I went to law school. I mean, I had it a long time ago. Someone told me that the mark of an educated person is to know where to go. That's all. Don't know where to go for information.
I think we teach that, though.
Oh, yeah, no question. That's really, we've already started. We already instituted it. The other thing that they were all kind of universally below where, they were way in the 90th percentile. And none of these kids are geniuses. I mean, we've given them two IQ tests, and they're all, believe it or not, they're all, none of them are below average and none of them are above average. They're just right about average, which is really weird.
Yeah.
For that mix.
Yeah.
But all of them are bad in a relationship to where they are in the other things in punctuation and capitalization. But they're great, like in grammar and spelling. I mean, they've improved massively. But it's like they don't. And what I said to Joysana and Doug today, I said, I asked them if they'd ever been taught communication theory. In other words, why does a sentence have a subject and a verb and an object? What is it about that that makes it communicate? And what is punctuation? What punctuation and capitalization are, they're subliminals. And the reason that we have sentences with subjects, objects, verbs, predicates, is because, it's a whole universe of communication theory that would make it fast, and I believe we can teach the kids. that will make it fun for them to learn, because it'll be an adventure. A sentence will become an adventure instead of a memorized thing by rote. But the thing that each of the students improved massively. Well, you probably don't like her very much, but that's common. Most people just don't admit it. What you need to do is for you to confess to God that you don't need to be responsible for her. It's the feeling of responsibility that is deadened. Now, confess to God and see that to God that you don't need to be responsible for her, that there's a whole world of people that are your family that'll be just as responsible, and now you can enjoy her. But it's the feeling of responsibility that deadens the feeling with the response to children. And that's why there's so many juvenile delinquents, is because there's no... I promise you, what you just confessed is commonplace. But most people never say it. And so therefore it can never get dealt with. All it'll do is make them feel guiltier. And the more they feel guilty, the more judgmental they'll become on their children, because they can't accept their own guilt. There's no place for their guilt. That's all right. He's taken care of that too. The simple gospel that we believe and that we are is that we are not capable of handling ourselves in any way. We're not capable of handling we are losers. We are failures at parenting. We are failures at everything. We can't meet anybody's standards in the world. You understand? And just because you became a believer, and now that doesn't make you, okay, now I'm a good guy. No, you're still a loser.
You're a dead guy.
You're here.
But what, again, for us, every other form of thought I know of pushes you towards trying to be successful in isolation. Except here. The Bible, as we see it, pushes you towards a body. Pushes you towards being knit together in love. It pushes you towards having testing all of this stuff, but it requires that we lay down our lives for each other. Now, let me read something. We all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, instead of looking in the glass and seeing yourself in everything and in everyone, you look in the glass and see Jesus. Okay? That act of seeing another aspect of Him is the act by which the Holy Spirit transforms you with no effort on your part. If it requires any effort on your part, if it requires any attempt to change, then Christ died in vain. You understand that? Therefore, seeing as we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, we quit not, even in the light of no matter what it looks like, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, the hidden leavens, the hidden agendas, the hidden secrets, not walking in craftiness with agendas, manipulating, you can afford to have expressive relationships with people, not utilitarian. You know, where you can afford to have an expressive relationship with a grocery clerk, or with the guy that's pumping gas. Or there's no such thing as, you don't ever see a person for their utility. You understand? You see them, you express whatever's there openly, unashamedly. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now remember, the word deceitful there is a Greek word, and it's a technical term. It means to add water to the wine for the purposes of attracting or commerce. Don't add water. Don't try to make... The gospel is bad news. The gospel is not good news. Have you finally got that? The gospel is bad news to modern man. It's good news to God. Do you know what they've got churches? I read an article in Christianity Today. The 25 largest churches, the smallest of the 25 largest churches has 70,000 members. There's a church in South America that has...
Huh? They get together on one building.
There's churches in South America and Korea and the Far East that have 180,000 people in it. That can't be church. That's ludicrous. That's insane. That's a rock concert. That's a... That's stupid. That's why, I mean, again... There has to, we are a people that, I mean, we're too big here, right? We're approaching too big. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have at least 10, but no more than 20. How can God's name, can there be any reality in a church with, it's all it is, I mean, that'd be ludicrous. But by manifestation of the truth, or by openness of the truth, we commend ourselves openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Can you imagine us trying to have an evangelism plan? Or trying to have a plan to do any damn thing? It's crazy.
Reinhardt Bible Church. And I thought, who's Reinhardt? I know, but why did he get his name up there?
Well, that's like Paul. I mean, can you imagine? Paul would be absolutely furious if his letters were in the with Torah. I mean, it's crazy.
Who's this Reinhardt guy?
Yeah. Okay.
Paul on the rock.
But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where is that? In the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. You know, I mean, do you understand that? And if you, no matter what situation you're in, you know that that's true. You are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Some always weirds going on, you don't know what the hell's happening. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Just like we said that we show forth the Lord's death in the bread and the wine. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. But see, we don't believe that. We believe that we're supposed to get it right. Because we believe we're supposed to get it right, we start acting. Okay, can you hear me from once and for all time? You're not supposed to get it right. You're just supposed to be. If you believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Doesn't matter what you feel like, he's your life, he's internal. You are joined to the creation of the universe, the creator of the universe. Your reality is in a separate reality outside of time that overrides everything, where the creator, the God of the universe, is in this vessel. You can never be a separate, there can never be a state of being in which just where desperation is justified. If you know you're connected to the source, desperation leaves you, and the acts of desperation that you've been guilty of that are so boring will be gone. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Do you know why Jesus, the words that Jesus spoke, he said no man spake like this? Because the words produced death in him. Do you know why the words of Paul were spirit and life? Because they were death in him. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak. That's what must be done in your worlds. Instead of having an agenda, speak. God hates agendas. He hates them with a passion. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. The evidence that you believe is that you speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. We don't quit. Faint. The word faint is to primarily to quit in your mind. And how do you quit in your mind? Hmm? You run, or you have an agenda, or you have a plan.
Stay.
Excuse me. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Where are you reading this?
2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter.
Okay.